Praise the Lord. This morning, total surrender to the Lord. Amen.
get straight into the word, we're wasting not much time at all. Before I get straight into the word, I want to sing this song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of a spirit, washed in his blood. Amen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of the Spirit, born of the Spirit, washing his blood. This is my story. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. Praising my Savior all day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now pass on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story. Story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. Praising my Savior all day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all day long. Let's try the last verse. Perfect submission. All is at rest. All is at rest. In my Savior, I'm happy and blessed. Watching and waiting. Wait. Looking above. Looking above. Filled with his love. Lost in his love. Lost in his love. This is my story. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all day. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. So there's nothing like God's presence. Amen. God's presence is real. He's here. He's here. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The pillar of fire you have read about in the Bible is here. The pillar of fire that led Israel from Egypt to the promised land is here. The pillar of fire that met Moses in the burning bush is here. Praise God. The pillar of fire that appeared to Paul on the way to Damascus is here. Amen. The pillar of fire that came upon the prophet is here. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Shall we please be on our feet? What a privileged people we are. Amen. Hallelujah. So quickly, shall we open our scriptures to Revelation 10. Revelation chapter 10. I'll read just from verse 8 to 11. Revelation 10 from verse 8 to 11. And the voice which I heard from heaven speak unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it, eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the hand, out of the angel's hand, and I ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. May we please be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I pick for a title, sweet in the mouth, bitter in the belly. My title is sweet in the mouth, bitter in the belly. Amen. Of course, this is an experience John had. We know so much about John, don't we? So John, not John the Baptist, John the Revelator, as we call him, as John has stood for what he believed to be truth, as John has stood for the message of his day, as John had been boiled in oil and refused to be boiled, John had wonderful experiences with the great Holy Spirit. Amen. And I've said over and over again that when God wants to deal with you, he separates you from the people. Is that true? Is that true? Every time God wants to deal with you, God wants to give you a message or set you aside or speak to you or change you or make you better or equip you or quicken you or restore you or bless you. Whatever God wants to do with you, he separates you from the crowd. Because if you very often, when you walk with the crowd, you listen to the crowd. You don't hear the voice of the Lord. You hear the voice of the voices of your friends and family members and colleagues and mates and so on and so forth. So God will normally separate you so that when he speaks, you can clearly hear his voice. So this is what God did to John when God separated him from among his kinfolk. God caused a miracle when they put him in oil and he could not boil. God caused like a miracle that when John was put in hot oil, boiling for 24 hours, John could not be hurt. It was a miracle that would cause them to wonder and to be afraid and to be fearful. Exactly what happened. So they had to send him out, and they did. And where they put him was that island called Patmos. And that was where he wrote the book of Revelation, because God wanted him to write the book of Revelation. So something had to happen for him to be sent out. Hallelujah. Amen. And when he got there, of course, you know what he said right from the beginning. He said, I, John, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. Then visions began to break. Hallelujah. Visions began to break because he was in the spirit. Amen. And you will get no blessing from the Lord if you are not in the spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, in sunset, you will get no blessing from the Lord if you are not in the spirit. Amen. You must be in the spirit. You must be spiritual. Think like a spiritual being. Think like a believer. Think like a Christian. Talk like one. Walk like a believer. Remain spirit-filled. Hallelujah. You cannot be carnal. You cannot fast and pull and push and argue and debate and quarrel and remain in your Adamic nature and be blessed of the Lord. It is impossible. Hallelujah. The Lord cannot bless that which is cursed. He can only bless that which is blessed. Amen. If you want the Lord to be blessed, be in the Spirit. You want to hear from the Lord, be in the Spirit. If you want to see visions, be in the Spirit. What Spirit? Your Spirit? My Spirit? No, sir. Be in the Spirit of the Lord. Be in the Holy Spirit. Be in the Word. Hallelujah. You want to be blessed of the Lord? Be in the Spirit. And John was in the Spirit. And when he was in the Spirit, then he saw things. Then he saw visions. Then he heard voices. Then he saw symbols. That he was blessed and blessed and blessed beyond measure. John was not a complainant. Because if when he was set aside, it will give a cause to every man to complain. Being separated from your people, being persecuted, being neglected and rejected, being put on an island alone with snakes and scorpions. Every man will complain. Why me? Why not my brothers? Why not Matthew? Why me? Why not Peter? Why not this? Why not that? Why me? Why must I be the one to be here alone? Why me? Why me? Why me? He would have seen nothing. He would have been there and I would have probably died there with why me as his theme. But God, full of grace, showed him grace. In that peculiar situation, he never lost his praise. In that peculiar situation, he never lost his joy. Of course, you and I know that when he went there, he began to cry because the book was sealed. And if the book is sealed, you can't know what is in the book. And that should be a cause of worry to any man. Hallelujah. But God, out of grace, showed him, opened the book to John. Don't forget what the prophet said about John. He said John is a type of the bride of Christ. So when I read about John, I'm reading about me. Hallelujah. When I read about John, I'm reading about you. Being the bride of Christ. For John is a type of the bride of Christ. So whatever John saw, we saw. Whatever he had, we had. Hallelujah. And John was taken there. And of course, Revelation 10 is one of the things John witnessed that was in the future. That was about the prophet ministry. John saw the prophet. He saw denominations. He saw how they were bereft of the word. He saw how they became lazy, how they could not pray. He saw how the love of God was not in many people. He saw how the churches got worldly. And he saw how the world got churching. And he saw the filthiness in the church. And he saw all the dressing in the church. He saw all the Jezebel-like spirit in the church. But again, he saw the bride also. He saw the bride who stood for nothing but the word. He saw just a little bride. Fear not, little flock. It's my Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is a little flock. It is not the massive crowd. It's the little flock. It's those that are prepared to go with the Lord. It's those that are prepared to stay with the word. It's those that are surrendered to you, to him. The choir told you, I surrender it all. Hallelujah. Are you willing to surrender? Are you willing? Are you truly willing to give your time to the Lord? Are you willing to give your substance to him? Are you willing to lay at his feet your gifts? Bring to the Lord your gifts. Bring to the Lord your sacrifice. Put them before his feet. Hallelujah. He must be glorified. He must be exalted. He must be praised. He must be worshipped. Hallelujah. Bring your gift. Bring your gift. Bring your gift. Bring your gift to him, to the Lord. Hallelujah. And so don't take your gift to the world. Don't take your nice voice to the world and sing worldly song. bring it to the Lord. When you come to his house, dance to his glory. Don't give that gift to the world. Bring it to the house of the Lord. And so John saw these things. He saw the ministry of the prophet and how powerful it was. So powerful. There hasn't been a ministry like the ministry of William Branham. Not on the surface of the earth. It has never been so. Beside our Lord Jesus Christ, there hasn't been a man like he was. And science could testify of it. And the world could testify of it. While the world was calling Christ Messiah, while the demons called the Lord Messiah, the churches were calling him Beelzebub. Is that true? While the demon possessed saw the Lord, he said, "Hey, thou son of God, are you come to judge me?" The high priests were clattering around, were calling him Beelzebub and the false prophet. And that is what has repeated in our day, in our time. That God is standing outside the church and trying to get into his own church. I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone opens, I'll come in and I'll dine with him. And that message was to the churches. The Bible said so. The Bible said, "And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Christ was outside the church. Outside the church. The church has become so worldly. So worldly. In dressing, in music, in fashion, in everything. So carnal. Carnality in the church. Carnality in the church. The church has been so carnal. Until they gave respect to the rich. And disregarded the poor. That's not the church of God. In the church of God, in the church of God, all are the same. All have the Holy Spirit. In God's church, no big man, no small man. In God's church, not I have the gift, you have no gift, so I'm the one exalted. No. In God's church, it's the Spirit of Christ. It's humility. It's simplicity. Hallelujah. It's joy in the Lord. But it's all gone. The church must repent. Amen. The church is as guilty as the world. The church has lost its moral right to judge. The church cannot judge the world. But the bride will. The nominal church is gone. It is as worldly as the world. You can tell no difference. You can tell no difference between a Christian, a so-called Christian, and a non-believer until he tells you, "I believe the Lord Jesus Christ." What makes you believe? He cannot exhibit that. The world is gone. And the reason why the whole world is groaning and mourning just to see the very manifestation of sons of God. Because the world is tired of churchism. They want real, genuine life of Christ. They want real, the church is tired, the world is tired of powerless churches. They want a church full of power. A church that can bind Satan and can lock him somewhere in prison somewhere and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. A church that proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ with power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. A church that's not full of fornication. A church that's not full of people who drink and smoke. A church that's not full of people who gossip. A church that's not full of people who cannot laugh. Who are full of bitterness in the church. Oh, what a shame. A church that cannot forgive. And yet they sing the song of heaven and they can't forgive. Their spirit is so haughty they can't forgive. They can't humble themselves. What a shame. What a shame. I don't belong there. I don't belong there. I belong to the church that can rise and shine. Hallelujah. I am the redeemer of the Lord. I am the safe possession of the Lord. I have been called out. I have been redeemed. I have been blessed. I can't go back to the well. Hallelujah. I am God's purchased possession. Satan, look at me. I'm a Christian. Satan, look at me. I'm a son of God. Satan, look at me. I'm purchased by his blood. Satan, look at me. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am God's purchased possession. And for him I will live my life. I will live for him. With his grace and mercy upon me, I will live for him. I will live for Jesus day after day. The Holy Spirit I will obey. I will live for him. This is the church Christ is coming for. No, I belong to Methodist, I belong to Baptist, I belong to Pentecost. It will send you nowhere. You can't even belong to this church. I belong to Mount Sunset. It will reach you nowhere. We don't belong to no church. We belong to the spiritual body of Christ. We are born into the spiritual body. Hallelujah. You are here not because you came to join us. You are here not because you came to join the church. You can't join the church. You can only be spiritually born into the body of Christ. The true church is called the called out. John witnessed the wonderful ministry of the prophet from Revelation 10, from verse 1 to verse 7. We always read Revelation 10, 1 to 7. Is that right? But we are continuing to read from verse 8 to 11. But that's the bride's ministry. Also, the prophet ministry from verse 1, the mighty angel came down. Mount Sinai experienced the Lord Christ himself. And then when we read all these wonderful things, how he opened the book and gave it to the servants to go and show to his bride. Is that true? From verse 8, we read something wonderful there. After the scene, after that vision was off, John sees something else. And let's read it again. From verse 11, and the voice which I heard from heaven speak unto me again. You see, the same voice that has been speaking to John was speaking to him again after he has seen the prophet ministry. Are you following that? Okay. He said, and I heard from heaven, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book. This time, not a prophet. This time, the Spirit of God is not telling the prophet of Malachi 4 to go and take the book. This portion is John's time. It's John's time. It's the bride's time. It's my time. It's your time. Go and take the little book. The same little book that was given to the angel. The same little book he preached from. The same little book that was open for him to see all the mysteries of God is now being given to John, no more to Malachi 4. The same little book. Not another book. The same redemption book. The same revelation. The same mysteries revealed. The same ministry of Jesus Christ is being given to John. The angel tells him, go and take the book. The angel didn't say, John, here you are. I toss you the book. Go and take it. You must do something. It depends on you. You must go forward. You must be persuaded. You must be convinced. You must do the taking. Go and take the little book. Don't sit back and come to church and just hear the preacher man and go home and do nothing about it and wait for another Sunday and come being spoon-fed. Go and take the book. Seek. Go and take the book from the angel, from the same angel. And what did John say? Go and take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. The angel that stood upon the sea and upon the earth is Christ himself. He's called the covenant angel. He's the one who had a little book in his hand. Now, John is now going to the angel directly. Are you following that? He's not going to the angel through his pastor or through somebody else. He's going directly to the angel, who is Christ himself, to take that little book. And I went. Did he go? He himself said, and I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. I like the courage. Hallelujah. You must love it. You must love the message. You must love the revealed word. You must love Christ. He said, give me the little book. He loved it, so he asked for it. Ask what you will, and it shall be given you. He asked for it. Hallelujah. Give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. So John went to the angel and took the book, the same book that was given to the seven angels. He took the book. It means that you can't preach anything else but what the prophet preached. It's the same book. You can't have any other revelation that's contrary to the Bible. It's not acceptable. Every revelation must be in that little book of redemption. Of redemption. Of deliverance. Give me the little book. He went and took the little book. What did he do? Put it under his pillow and slept over it. What did he do? He put the book in his mouth. The word of God must be in your mouth. Hallelujah. The word must not depart from your lips. He put a book in his mouth. And what did he do? He chewed the book. How sweet it was. Sweeter than honey. Is the word of God sweet? Now watch. When a revelation breaks forth and you catch it, how do you feel? How do you feel? How do you feel? When God comes down in a mighty revelation and breaks the bread to you, for you, and you eat it up and you are chewing it on, thank God for this revelation. Thank God for a message. Oh, thank God. And you are happy. Why are you happy? Because it is sweet in your mouth. Sweet, 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 sweet in your mouth. Sweet in my mouth. This book of redemption is sweet in our mouth. We love to confess it. We love to talk about the prophet and his exploits. We love to talk about how great God was glorified in the ministry of a prophet. We love to talk about how the dead was raised and how the pillar of fire appeared. It's all wonderful. It's all great. It's all marvelous. It's joy. It's sweet in our mouth like honey. But it doesn't end there. The Christian experience is not all joy, 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 joy. The Christian experience is not all hallelujah and amen every time you are in a wonderful, happy mood. It's not all the time like that. There are ups and downs. There are hills and valleys. There are days of sorrow and days of joy. There are days of companionship and days of neglect when you walk alone. There are days when people will meet you and will not even greet you. And God will look out for your reaction. There are days that hypocrites will meet you and you know they're hypocrite. You know they don't like you and yet they put a smile. And you must love them. That's not joy. That's not sweet in your mouth. That's bitter in your belly. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, there are days God takes charge of your life and you come to church and you are all charged up and praise God. Preach, sermon, preach on. Hallelujah. And you shout and you rejoice. It is sweet in your mouth. And when you walk away, then the devil comes. In trial. In temptation. In persecution. And then the same word you rejoice over is bitter in your belly. Because you must leave the word to prove that you believe. You must leave the word to prove that you believe the word. And God won't push you through a pipe to you. God will not handle it to you on a silver platter. You must be child trained. This gospel of Christ is not for weaklings. This gospel of Christ is not for pretenders. This gospel of Christ is full of blood. This gospel of Christ are for those that are ready to go all the way. Despite rejection, despite neglect, they are willing to go all the way. This gospel of Christ that call you and me, it's not a gospel for it's not a children's party. It's not tea and, oh, how are you, brother? God bless you every time, pat you at your back, say some kind words every time, and make you bloat. It's not all the time like that. There are times you must stand as a single ranger, as a lone soldier. You must stand as the eagles fly alone. You must stand and fly alone. That is gospel. Not companionship. Not this church. My pastor doesn't care. My church don't care. So as for me, I'll go to some denomination that care. The prophet said, when the Lord Jesus Christ was whipping them blue, when the Lord was rebuking them and cursing the churches, the Pharisees were paying visits at homes and kissing the babies and giving alms to the public, and they were applauded. Oh, what a good church. This church is very good. So the moment you are sick, the people are there. The moment you are, oh, they are there. The moment you get into difficulty, they are there. Just so that they can be marked correct. Come back to the Bible. Come back to the Bible. Come back to the Word. And Christ that stood there, which of them was the Messiah? The one that went to the homes and killed the babies and gave them alms? Or the one that picked the stick and killed them out of the church? Who was the Messiah? Who had kindness? Who had mercy? The one that called them snakes and rebuked them doctrines and told the disciples to be very careful about the doctrine of the Pharisees? Or the one that came out with all such righteous appearance and gave alms to the public? Watch what you follow. Amen. Watch what you follow. Amen. We thank God for the pillar of fire. Amen. Hallelujah. This bride follows nothing but the pillar of fire. And so he went there to take the book, and he began to chew the sweet in his mouth. And the moment he began to swallow, it was bitter in his stomach. Just as the voice had told him that this book will be so sweet in your mouth and bitter in your belly. Hallelujah. This is the gospel of Christ. This is the revealed word. This is the message. So if you came to the message to form an association, I'm sorry for you. If you had the message to be patted at your back, I'm sorry for you. If you are here so that everyone can smile at you and shake your hand and all the time give you good words, I'm afraid for you. You haven't begun the journey. You haven't begun the journey. Praise God. This journey is a journey that you'll be neglected, that you'll be called names, that you'll be told you are following a man, that you'll be told all kinds of things, that you'll be lied against. False witnesses will come against you. And people will hate you for your doctrine. Because so did they hate your leader, your master, the savior of the world. If they call him names, what do you think they'll call you? If they call him Beelzebub, what do you think they'll call you? Praise God. Hallelujah. But those that love the Lord cannot be separated. The love of God has put them up to his word. Hallelujah. So I'll read you a quote, and just two quotes. I'll read the first one from a sermon called Revelation chapter 5, part 2. Revelation chapter 5, part 2. This sermon was preached in 1961. And in that the prophet said, shall we have the quotes on the screen? And this sevenfold book of seven redemption, and this sevenfold book of seven redemption plans has been brought to us. And that is what this book holds. Amen. Now, we are going to get over in the 10th chapter where this mighty angel proclaims something that, and he had a little book that John had to eat. And when he did, he got it into his belly and it was bitter. But in his lips, it was sweet. When you have to digest it, my son said, are you with me? Brothers, are you with me? Listen, when you have to digest it, then it gets bitter. Everybody's against you. Everybody's telling you, you are a holy ruler. You are this, that, or the other. See? You are off your head. So it is hard to digest it. But when you are testifying of his glory, it is sweet in your lips. That's all, see? And when you stand up in a meeting, you say, glory to God. He was about to shout hallelujah. Oh, when you are going through that great siege, it is hard. But then, when you are out of that great siege, you can testify of it. Then, it is sweet in the lips. Then, it is sweet in the lips. See? That's right. That is this book of redemption. That is this book of redemption. This book is called the book of redemption. Hallelujah. Because no other book can redeem but this book. Our redemption is by this book. Hallelujah. And so when it's all joy, testifying about the grace of the Lord and how you escaped death and how he's been there for you, how you escaped that accident, how that death, how that sickness could not kill you, how the enemies came against you but could not come against you. Hallelujah. How something took place and how you escaped narrowly. And you begin to worship. And when you hear about the prophet and his ministry and the Lord Jesus Christ, how he was proclaimed and how he was exalted, it's wonderful to talk about it. It brings joy. It brings faith. Hallelujah. The message is sweet in our lips. It's so wonderful. Let's talk about Jesus and his goodness and his mercies and his glory. It's so sweet. But when that word must be believed, when you must digest that word into your belly, that's where digestion takes place. All mashed and all mixed, and the word is mixed with the blood, and the food gets refined, and the nutrients get into the appropriate places, and the life gets into the blood, the strength from the food get into the human body, and then it digests, and then it goes into various places. The blood circulates to the brain, the hands, the feet. Oh, the strength from the food gets into the whole body. In the same way, when the word is swallowed, when the word is eaten up, when the word is digested, when the word is accepted, when the word gets into you, it gets into all your veins and your organs. And your body and your brains, it get into all the various parts. It's all the word, the blood, the word, all the word into the brain. It's all word. You see by the word, you hear by the word, you smell by the word, you speak by the word. It's all word. But when it's being digested, because the guy that doesn't like you, you must love him. It's bitter. He disregards you. But you must get back to him. He puts you under his feet. But you mustn't do the same to him or to her. He neglects you. He speaks foolishly. He speaks anyhow. But you mustn't return that. It's bitter. Lord, please give me faith. Lord, give me faith. Then you went to pray. Then as you prayed, and you woke up from your bed, then faith came, boom, and it entered you. That wasn't God. That wasn't faith. That was some sensation. That wasn't faith. Faith will come on the wings of trial. Praise God! Faith will come on the wings of temptation. Faith will come on the wings of unbelief. And when you are being tried and tested, and when all all the situation looks like, it all looks like it's contrary to the promise, then faith must stand. Because you prayed for faith. So God will allow some situations in your life that will allow you to exercise your faith. And when, in spite of the so-called evidence, you still stand there, then you are doing what? Then you are gaining faith. Then you are getting faith. Listen. Then you are getting faith through birth pains. It comes by birth pains. The natural, a type of the spiritual. Lord, give me faith. You truly want faith? Are you sure? He will bring situations in your way to make you stand on that word despite what? Under criticism, under rejection, family members, colleagues, nobody understands you. You alone rejoice over the message. They don't seem to get it. You alone get it. You must still stand there. Amen. Then faith is gotten. Yes, sir. Faith must be tried and tested. Then it comes. But add on to your faith. Virtue. So God will allow a situation that will make you have virtue. Yes, not when you want to pray, Lord, give me virtue. Then it came. Ooh, no. To allow situation in your life that will challenge you. To let you produce virtue of the Lord. What is virtue? Power for service. Not a powerless church. Power for service. Praise God. In the face of the devil, you stand as a son of God, as God's daughter. And to produce that virtue, you can't give what you don't have. That's how it comes. Out your faith virtue. Out your virtue knowledge. What knowledge? Knowledge of the word. So God will put you in a situation that will make you seek knowledge of the word. And when you get that knowledge of the word, then you can now build upon it. No, this is right. No, this is wrong. No, this is wrong. Paul didn't say that. Abraham didn't say that. No, it's wrong. You have knowledge of the word. You can't be tossed to and fro. You can't be deceived. Because you have the word. Praise God. You can now add onto it. You know you can divide the scriptures. When the devil comes to quote to you, you also boo him back. When it comes to and said it is written, you can also say it is also written. Because you have God's knowledge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know how to rightly divide the scriptures and how to apply them. Amen. Add on to knowledge temperance. How do you get it? Through trial. God will cause situation that will make you lose your temper. And I'm not out of it. I'm inside it. To try you and cause your temper. I don't know which example to give. Maybe those of you who drive. You drive and you want to obey all the regulations, and someone is driving stupidly and driving foolishly and trying to cause a lot of mayhem. And when you try to advise, he's telling that you have no sense. He insults you on top of his mistakes. Me have no sense. I'll show you. You show what? What will you show? What will you show? You show what you have. What do you have? Temper. You have temper like a bullsaw. I'll tear you apart. You tear no one apart. You must repent. I must repent. Praise God. So God will allow situations in your way that will make you gain temperance. Is it sweet in the mouth? No. It's bitter in the belly. In that situation, it's not sweet. In that situation where the word of God must be applied, you must digest the word, it is bitter. Because, me, this guy, I hear many people say, had not been for the fact that I was a Christian. Like you see, you haven't said anything. Amen. You are still not converted yet. Amen. When you convert, it will show. When you are healed, it shows. When you are converted, also it shows. Amen. Then you pull back. They slap your Lord. He was reviled. He was pushed. He was spat upon. He was booted and kicked. He fought not back. Peter didn't have that patience. He put his knife, cut somebody's ear. They all took it and put it back. Temperance. Temperance. Watch what you say. In your anger, you speak foolishly. In your anger, you speak foolishly to your wife. In your anger, you speak foolishly to your husband. In your anger, temper. But God will give you temperance to sweeten you up. Praise God. Temperance is the life of the Lord. Is the faith of the Lord. Virtue of the Lord. Knowledge of the Lord. Temperance of the Lord. It's not yours, but you must take the step. You must do the addition. God won't give it to you through a pipe tube. He won't push you through a pipe tube. The Bible said, add unto your faith virtue. Who's adding? Who's adding? You, me. Add unto your faith. You must add. You must take the step. And God will be there to help you. He'll be there to help you. Amen. And then you add temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness, all will come through trials. Be godly. To be like Jesus in the world of filthiness. Everywhere filthiness. In the church, filthiness. But there you must stand and become like a son of God. Like God's daughter, you must become. Hallelujah. And brotherly kindness, you must be tried to have it. Brotherly kindness, it's not a gift that's given to you without any battle. All these virtues is through overcoming spirit. Amen. You must be an overcomer. You must overcome to have it. You must overcome to have it. It's not a gift that's given to you as a gift of prophecy. You prayed and fasted and then you got... No. It's come through trials and temptation and battles that must be fought. You stand right there. In the midst of evidence, so-called evidence, he said, no, God didn't say that. I still stand there. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Then, what are you doing? You are getting his attributes. Amen. You are getting his virtues and his character and his power. There's power in those virtues. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Then he himself comes to carpets. Hallelujah. After you rise from faith to brotherly kindness, that he himself capstone the charity, comes to cap you as an individual, then you become a living epistle, read of all men. Character. Character. Abraham said, for God to have confidence in you, it depends on your character. The quote I sent you, if you're on a platform, I sent you yesterday, go and read that quote again. If God will have confidence in you, it's not about your gifts. It's about character. It's your character. Hallelujah. Not gossip. Maybe gossip and lying and cheating and all kinds of things. It's character. Then God will have confidence in a man. Like I said, this is my boy. This is my boy. This is my girl. Like he did to the Lord. This is my beloved son. Ram was saying, in other words, this is my boy. He was proud of him. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well placed. Hallelujah. Character. Amen. Hallelujah. But it's sweet in the mouth when we testify and talk about the Lord. But when you must live the life, then it's bitter in your belly. Hallelujah. The last quote, the marriage of the Lamb. The marriage of the Lamb, preached in 1962. So many says, if the Lord would take this evil spirit from me, from drinking, or from gambling, or from lying, or stealing, I will serve him. Amen. Let me read it again. It's so powerful. So many says, if the Lord would take this evil spirit from me, from drinking, and from gambling, or from lying, or stealing, I will serve him. But that is up to you. Are you listening? But that is up to you. See, you got to do something too. You, me, we've got to do something too. Not like just lying down, oh, God, help me. Lord, you know I'm weak. Hey, Lord, you know, so don't help me. I'm afraid for you being in that situation for a long time. Amen. You've got to do something too. Amen. Those things that put you down to hell, plant them away. Amen. Walk away from it. If it's so difficult for you to do that, as much as it's difficult for you to plug your eye, still do it. Amen. For if your eye was sent into hell, you better plug it out. The Bible said so. So the Bible said, the prophet said, see, you got to do something too. They that overcome shall inherit all things. Hallelujah. Amen. They that overcome. You have power to do it. Did you hear that? You have power to do it. But you must be willing to lay it down. Oh my. I love to listen to my prophet. You must be willing to lay it down. See, she has made herself ready. I like that word. The bride has made herself ready. You must be willing to lay it down. Those things that trouble you, be willing to lay it down. The spirit of lies, you lie every time. And you're not willing to let it go. You must be willing to let it go. You must be willing to let it down. Begin to tell truth in the face of danger. And God will be there for you. Do something. You too, do something. Me too, I must do something. Are you with me? Okay. So he says, listen, you have power to do it. Why did he say that? The power is already in me. It's already in you. Is that true? But you must be willing to let it down. You can't stop watching pornographic materials. And yet, you're not willing to let it off your phone. You see, God help me. God help me. Oh Lord, I want to stay away from pornography. And yet in your phone, that is in your own possession, not in the possession of the Lord, in your own possession. Those filthy things are still there. And so, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And yet you are willing to hide some. Okay, maybe I have 100 of them. I'll just delete 99. I'll keep one, but I don't know what will happen, so I'll just keep one. You see that you are a hypocrite? You see that I'm a hypocrite? You can't follow God with the world. You can't marry two masters. You can't marry two husbands. The woman cannot marry two husbands. That's why in the Old Testament, she couldn't do it. The man could marry more than one in the Old Testament because Christ has many wives. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to the word? Christ has many wives. Anyone who is a bride, whether he's in Pram or wherever he is, whatever she is a bride of Christ. So he has many wives, many churches that have been called out. But a woman cannot have many husbands. Do you understand? The reason why Solomon, David, they had many wives as a type of Christ who has many wives, spiritually speaking. But a woman can't have that. The church can't have anything beside the word. The word is our husband. And beside our husband, we can't have anything else. Say amen. Amen. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You must be willing to let it go. We're not willing to let it go. We're not willing to let go. We want to have the world and still serve God. You can't do it. You enjoy worldly song and you enjoy gospel song. You can't do it. Sweet and bitter doesn't come from the same water. Isaiah will tell you that. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can't be identified with the things of the world and still claim to love Christ. You must let it go. Let it go. Amen. Let it go. That demon, let it go. Amen. I'm no more your slave. Let it go. Amen. You must do something too. It must cost you something. Amen. You remember those days when people bought televisions and they were showing filthy things on the television. They picked, said, go shoot that thing down. And they went to buy the gun and shot it down. And today many people have made that their doctrine. So even if your television is not churning out free things, still go shoot it down. See? They are not spiritual. You must be spiritual. This message is not rules and regulations. It's, you must be spiritual. They are spiritually discerned. Then you must as well shoot down your all your scientific inventions and your cars and your radio, because they all turn out some foolish things too. Do you know, you get into a taxi and the driver will play some foolish songs? Is that not true? So it's not only television. Radios can change some poisons too. He's telling you to shun what is evil. Shoot that thing down. But you can turn it to heaven. The same television, you can turn it from hell to heaven. Praise God. You can turn it to heaven. Hallelujah. If you begin to play some wonderful gospels, some watch some the prophet, the deep call unto the deep. Will you watch the deep call unto the deep on the radio? This word is given to only the bride.
Amen.
Amen. That's why you can't hang on one branch of a tree and call the whole branch a tree. You must hear what the prophet said about all the issues. Amen. Okay, let me come back here. So listen. He said, but that's up to you. See, you got to do something too. They that overcome shall inherit all things. They that overcome, you have power to do it, but you must be willing to lay it down. See, she has made herself ready. I like that word. You see, God could not push us through a little pipe, pull us out on the other end, and then saying, blessed is he that overcometh. No. You had nothing to overcome. He just pushed you through. But you've got to make decisions for yourself. Are you following me? Let me rather say, are you following the word? You've got to make decisions for yourself. Personal decisions. I'll always be in church. It's your personal decision. I'll not be in church when I feel like going, then I'll go. It's a personal decision. I'll come and pray on Wednesday. It's a personal decision. I won't come and pray. Let the pastor say anything he wants to say. I won't come. It's a personal decision. I will testify about this word. I won't testify. Well, I'm too busy. It's a personal decision. Do you understand? It's a personal choice. No man can force you, but one day you stand before God. Are you with me, Master said? It's a personal decision. You can't make a decision and not pay for it. You pay for it. Because God cannot be mocked. So listen. He said, you have nothing to overcome. He just pushed you through. But you've got to make decisions for yourself. I have to make decisions for myself. In doing that, we show our faith and respect to God. Abraham was promised a child. But he must maintain this promise for 25 years. The ups and downs that he had and temptations in those 25 years. But he held to the word of the promise. Get on the keyboard. And Israel was promised a promised land. But they had to fight for every inch of it. You and me must fight for every inch of our promise. I shall be healed. I shall be adopted. I shall be sealed. It's a fight. Fight the good fight. Wherever the soles of your foot tread upon, that have I given you. God said to Joshua, it was all there. The land was there. And God gave it to them. But they must fight for it. The same way it is about divine healing. God has got the power to heal you if you've got the courage to accept it. But you will fight every inch of the way. Unbelief, sickness, you can feel the sickness in your body, the symptoms, you are still weak, but said, God is my healer. God is my healer. I shall be healed. Despite that, you are still professing the promise, because you must fight a good fight. fight, 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 fight. Praise God. You must fight a good fight. You've got to the courage to accept it, but you fight every inch of the way. God has got amazing grace to save you, and He will do it. But you will fight every inch of your way. Did you hear that? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. You must fight every day. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. Don't fight bad fights, quarrel and insinuations and gossip. That's not the fight. Fight the fight of faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm ending on this quote. I now, Brother Bram is now talking about himself. I've been behind the pulpit going on 31 years. And every inch of that has been a fight. Do you hear that? Constantly. It certainly has. And this now, let me talk about my unworthy self. This little ministry has always been a fight. Pram, pram. Pram, pram. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. If you know, it's been a constant fight. Stubborn spirits. Constant fight. Constant reminders. Constant prayers. Constant word. In pram pram. In this little unworthy ministry. Fight a good fight. But we must fight if we must reign. So we find out that the bride has to make herself ready. Be willing to lay aside every weight that so easily beset us. Are you willing? Are you willing to let go? That we might run with patience the race that is set before us. We must lay them aside ourselves. We can't say, God, you come, lay them aside for us. We can't say that. We've got to do that ourselves. Do you hear that? We've got to do that ourselves. Go home and begin to tear up those filthy pictures. Go home and begin to delete all those pornography on your phone. Go home and stay away from gambling. Go home and stay away from fornication. Go home and walk the way of the Lord. Go and sin no more. Praise God. Go and be a son of God. Go and be God's daughter. Hallelujah. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Hallelujah. That as for me and my house, let the church stay away from church. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Let all the young guys in Pram Pram smoke. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Let the world get worldly. Let women dress filthily. As for me, as a young girl, I'll cover myself. It's a personal decision. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Because this message has two parts. Sweetness in your mouth and bitterness in your belly. God bless you. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we so much love you. It's not been easy, but you've been there. It's been a rough road, but you've been there. Our burdens have been very heavy, but you gave us a promise that you will lighten them. In Joel's time, we praise you. In times of sadness, we praise you. Thank you for your word that has gone forth. Thank you for the bride for this hour. The world doesn't like truth, but your bride loves the truth. Bless this little church. May no one here, Lord, grab the world and grab you as well. May we let go of our first husband. May our first husband die before we can marry again to you. No wonder why Paul said, the woman that has the living husband cannot marry unless the husband is dead. It's the same in a spiritual sense as well. We cannot have the world as our old husband and still marry you. The old world, old husband, old habit must die before we are married to you. Be our strength, Lord. And when there's no joy anywhere, be our joy. When the church becomes cold and don't want to pray and become very stubborn, may there be someone who will spread the word. May there be someone who wants to go on the way with the Lord. Oh Lord, forgive our foolish ways and stand right there on our side. Bless the church. Bless every brother, every sister. Bless the pulpit. Anoint this church with your goodness and mercy. May we not just come here to water away the time. May we be here because we are being formed into the image of your Son. We love you for first loving us. Let the church with the spirit of humility, may stubborn spirit and bitterness and Lord and gossip and haughty spirit and all things, arrogance and unforgiving spirit, not be found in here. May these be the ones you redeem and claim under the seventh seal. Thank you for what you have done. Give us the grace and the courage to go all the way out. We know you'll be there with us as you already promised us. Bless every family, bless every brother and sister. Our children be blessed of the Lord. And may the word, may prompt testify that these guys don't just go to church, they have the character of Christ. And may we not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ Jesus. Bless us as we've taken this little journey, this little narrow way we are willing to go. Be our strength and our comfort and our grace. And when we come, may none be found with excuses, but may all be found in your word. In the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. God bless you.